This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Allison Henschel joins us on the long line from her home, and Allison writes a blog called First Draft. She's a former journalist and author, and she's got a new book out called Special Plans, Douglas Feith and the Faulty Intelligence That Led to War. Allison, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
I guess the best place to start, really, is with the Inspector General's report came out recently, just a couple of weeks ago, which had some pretty startling conclusions that I'm hoping people got. There's a whole lot of media out there, and we're hit with so much information, the left and right, that sometimes very important messages might not get through. Tell us what were some of the big findings in the Inspector General's report? What was their purview? What were they looking at, and what did they discover about the war in Iraq?
Essentially, the report was actually requested by Senator Carl Levin in the fall of 2005, and when it came out, it was released on the 10th of February. When it came out, what it looked at was whether or not the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, a man named Douglas Feith, whether he used intelligence inappropriately or illegally to make the case for the war in Iraq. And the report was actually fairly critical of Feith's operation. It said that he was basically running an independent intelligence office that was issuing analyses that were at odds with numerous U.S. intelligence agencies, and that he bypassed those agencies and other officials to present his version of the facts about a connection between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda directly to the executive, and that he dismissed and downplayed evidence contrary to the story that he wanted to tell. Now, what the report found was that there was nothing that Feith had done that was illegal or unauthorized, but which Feith then seized on to say, "See, I was vindicated." However, the report does beg the question: if he was using intelligence inappropriately, which is what the Inspector General concluded, he said that this was inappropriate. Who authorized him, and then why is that person not being held to account?
Allison Henschel is our guest. She's been writing and studying the situation with the faulty intelligence that led to the Iraq War, specifically one Douglas Feith. Allison, who is Doug Feith?
Doug Feith is a longtime Middle East scholar. He was actually brought up in an intellectual sense in the Project for New American Century, which is a right-wing think tank that is formed in the late 1990s in response to what the people who founded it saw as a foreign policy adrift under President Clinton. It was a group of extremely right-wing Republicans who essentially wanted the United States to take on a very active role, and what they were proposing as far back as 1998 is what has now become known as the Bush Doctrine, which is a policy of preemptive action against states that are acting contrary to our interests, and preemptive action aimed directly at imposing democracy on those regimes. And Douglas Feith was mentored by Richard Perle, who was an advisor to the Bush administration, and who was a longtime Republican figure who worked for, you know, pretty much everyone important in the Bush administration now. And so he really kind of came of age intellectually in this environment. And when he went to work for Paul Wolfowitz and Donald Rumsfeld at the Department of Defense, he was then placed in charge of finding ways to make the case for a connection between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden after the 9/11 attack.
Author Allison Henschel is our guest. Her new book is Special Plans, the blogs on Douglas Feith and the faulty intelligence that led to war. So Douglas Feith is this guy who was brought up in the neoconservative philosophy that really blossomed in the 90s by a lot of these Republicans who were out of power, didn't like what Clinton was doing and not doing, is more accurate. They wanted to see a much more aggressive presence internationally with the American military. And so the Project for a New American Century, Doug Feith was there. And now all of these guys who were with a Project for a New American Century have since moved into the Bush administration, very powerful positions at the Bush administration.
Right, right. That's exactly right. And they really, I mean, if you look over some of the original members of the Project for a New American Century, you've really got kind of a who's who of the Bush administration. You've got Elliot Abrams, who pleaded guilty to misleading Congress during the Iran-Contra scandal in the Reagan administration, who was Deputy National Security Advisor to President Bush. Gary Bauer, who was the Director of Reagan's Office of Policy Development and formed a social conservative lobbying group. William Bennett, Jeb Bush, Scooter Libby, who's on trial right now and awaiting a verdict as we speak.
The vision of this think tank that was created in the 90s was one of the central tenets that they wanted to see happen was they wanted to see Saddam Hussein taken out for the benefit of Israel. Is that right?
Well, the justification actually is that crucial to the security of the United States was the security of Israel from Palestinian terrorism, and they were looking at Iraq as a noted and at Saddam Hussein as a noted supporter of terrorism against Israel and of radical Palestinian elements. And so they were looking at the, from that perspective, yes, they were very determined to take out Hussein. And in fact, in the days immediately after 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld was quoted as saying, you know, in discussing potential attacks on Afghanistan, he was quoted as saying, well, there aren't any good targets in Afghanistan, but there are plenty of good targets in Iraq. Why don't we go there?
We're talking with Allison Hanschel. The new book is Special Plans, the blogs on Douglas Feith and the faulty intelligence that led to war.
You're listening to the podcast of Charlottesville Right Now with Poi Barefoot. Podcasting of the show is made available by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
My guest is Allison Hanschel. Her new book is Special Plans, the blogs on Douglas Feith and the faulty intelligence that led to war. Allison, we were told after 9/11 that, you know, there were all these hijackers, most of whom were from Saudi Arabia, but our military is going into Afghanistan because there was a guy over there who was responsible for it. So we killed a bunch of people in Afghanistan. We took over that country. We never got that guy, Osama bin Laden, and we stopped looking for him. Next thing you know, we're going into Iraq because we were told that there's this special secret relationship between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda, and that if we don't get into Iraq tomorrow, that Saddam Hussein is going to give nuclear, biological, chemical weapons to Al-Qaeda. So we've got to go in immediately. And then they never found any of this stuff. There's still some people who believe they did. They did not. And if I understand your book right, you're saying that we can really trace all of this rationale and the argument that was given to us, the evidence, quote unquote, that was given to us to go into Iraq to one man, Douglas Feith.
What the book is actually saying is that, you know, this, and when I started looking at Feith's role actually in the run up to the war, what I found was someone who had a story that he wanted to tell and who went out and found information that confirmed that story. And that's actually been the characterization of Feith from former aides of his, including Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kwiatkowski, whose name I'm sure I'm butchering, but it's who said, you know, this is a guy who looks for evidence to confirm opinions that he already holds. This isn't someone who goes out there and looks at everything that's there and draws a conclusion based on what's in front of him. So what Douglas Feith was doing was taking reports from Iraqi defectors who were questionable, to put it generously. For example, what you mentioned just now, the stockpiles of biological weapons. We were fed a bunch of lines about mobile biological weapons laboratories that were terribly dangerous and could strike us from anywhere. And the source for the main source for that allegation turned out to be an alcoholic cousin to an aide to Ahmad Shalabi, who's the Iraqi National Congress president and an Iraqi exile prominent within the Bush administration. And this alcoholic cousin was described by his intelligence handlers as crazy, and his friends said he was a congenital liar. And we were taking this man's reports and stovepiping them, to use Seymour Hersh's term, directly to the executive branch. And of course they turned out to be completely wrong.
And that intelligence that we used, of course, has led to the deaths of thousands of some of the finest Americans that we have, young men and women who volunteer. This is an all-volunteer army, and sometimes people forget that. This is an all-volunteer army, and why have they died?
Well, and that's exactly the question. And what's really enraging about all of this is, one of the bloggers in the book put it really, really perfectly, I think. A guy named Jack Kay, who writes at the Grumpy Forester, and he said, I'm paraphrasing here, but what he said, Doug Feith isn't going to miss a meal. I mean, he gets to walk. He planned this. He justified this. He's still defending his actions in light of this Inspector General's report, and he gets to saunter off into private life and not face any real consequences other than people occasionally being mean to him. And meanwhile, we have soldiers and servicemen and women who are suffering because of the work that he did. And the only question that he should be being asked right now, instead of asking him to parse, is it illegal or inappropriate, and acting like it's some sort of achievement that he actually didn't break a law, all anybody should really be asking him is, you were wrong. Why didn't you apologize?
Allison Henschel is our guest. Allison, what do you say to the fans of Doug Feith, the fans of George Bush, and there are a lot of them in this country, who would say perhaps, I don't care how we got there. I'm glad we're there. We need to be there. It's a troubled part of the world. Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. I'm glad we took him out. And if our troops need to be anywhere in the world taking care of business, it's in the Middle East.
It's actually a very good question, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because it's one that I do hear that I have heard from people. And essentially what you're asking is, why is this important? And, in answer to that, if I can just read a little bit from one of the pieces that was included in the book, a piece by Matt Iglesias, who writes for the American Prospects blog. And what he says is what I think is at the heart of this. And he says, it's hard to think of a more important security issue facing the country than our capacity to gather reliable intelligence about who is and who is not collaborating with Al-Qaeda. Feith's operation has cut directly against this and has been used to mislead Congress about the state of American intelligence on the subject. I mean, what we're basically saying is, we need reliable information about who is and who is not a threat to us, because there are real threats. And we need to be able to trust what we're being told about them. And what Feith has done is essentially made that trust very hard to come by.
Allison Henschel is our guest. Her new book is Special Plans, The Blogs on Douglas Feith and the Faulty Intelligence That Led to War. The phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you would like to join the conversation and share how you feel about the war in Iraq. Allison, one of the great unsung heroes of this whole thing, in my opinion, is General Eric Shinseki, who was chief of staff of the U.S. Army, who was in Vietnam. He was one of those generations of military men here in America who learned the lessons of Vietnam, took those lessons to the table, to Rumsfeld's office, and said, hey, this is what we learned. This is what tens of thousands of American lives in Vietnam produced. This is the knowledge that their death led to. And we know how to do this now. And if you want to go into Iraq, you're going to need 400,000 soldiers. And he was drummed out of a job. They basically kicked him in the rear and said, get out of here. I don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear the lessons of history. We're going to do it our way. I mean, the hubris of these guys is unbelievable. And in Rome, they would have thrown you in jail for this kind of hubris. It was a legal offense. Yet I think that Shinseki is very symbolic of the very rational, calm, well-reasoned logic that was at the start of this whole tragedy that was sort of warning us, you know, these guys are wrong.
Yeah, no, I entirely agree. And when he came forward with, when General Shinseki came forward with his estimate of 400,000 troops, it was Feist's boss who publicly derided him and said, you know, Paul Wolfowitz, who said that estimate is wildly off the mark. And within days of the fall of Baghdad, he turned out to be correct. But what he was up against in the Pentagon war planners is a group of people that had this perfect plan on paper. They had this perfect idea. We're going to go in there. It'll be quick. It'll be easy. We'll install a government of exiles led by Ahmad Shalabi, who's ready to assume the presidency of Iraq. And this is exactly how it's going to go. And when people said you have to plan for the worst case scenario, what if it's a disaster? They were essentially told, you know, why are you being so glum? Everything's going to be fine. You're very astute in calling it hubris. When I was talking to my editor, the editor of the series of books of which Special Plans is a part, I said, you know, you almost have to not have read anything about the Middle East to think this is going to work. And my editor said, you almost have to not have read Shakespeare. It's a basic misunderstanding of human nature that says that people are going to welcome an occupation and are going to welcome people coming in and telling them, this is your new government, you'll sit back and enjoy it or else.
Our guest is Allison Hanschel. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Charlie is on the line from Charlottesville, and my guess is he might think that somebody's being naive. Charlie, go right ahead.
No, I'm glad you're finally putting this on your show. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, a lot of the stuff that Allison's talking about are, you know, in bits and pieces have been, you know, shown in a variety of magazines and newspapers, and it kills me that as a nation we haven't figured this out, you know, and that we continue to allow this to go on. I mean, it's incredibly sad, and if you look at, I mean, numbers-wise, look at the number of American deaths even compared to Britain. It's like 3,000 to less than 200, and, you know, we're not, you know, we're still unable to you know, to pass a resolution condemning the war. I mean, it's really frustrating to me, and I feel, you know, for lack of a better word, kind of like disenfranchised, you know, that my vote doesn't count. This is still going on, despite the fact that, you know, that a lot of people know about it. So I'm glad that you're, you know, stating your case. One bone I have to pick with you, though, is I've heard you say a couple of times about supporting our commander-in-chief, and you know, I'm all for that, so long as, you know, he's doing the right thing. And so at this point, I think the sooner we, you know, change gears, the better.
Charlie, hang with us if you can and turn your radio down. I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks.
Be down all the way.
I clearly had the wrong Charlie there, and I apologize. Allison, what do you say to folks? And I'm sure you hear this all the time. To folks who say, I'm so glad that we're really talking about sort of the elephant in the room, the obvious thing that this country was lied to over and over again, and people have died. Some of the best Americans we have paid their lives in Iraq for lies. Most of Americans like me are sort of scratching our heads saying, why are we there? Really? Why are we there? And what do you say to the folks like Charlie here who say, you know, I really feel this way, I agree with you, but I feel completely powerless?
I would say to Charlie that he's very right, and one of the things that this administration figured out very fast is that they did not actually have to answer to anyone, that they can ignore the polls, and they could ignore Congress, and they could, you know, this is an administration that has over and over again substituted its own desires for, in many cases, the actual law of this country. And, you know, you sound like a crazy person. I mean, I'm hearing myself saying this and thinking, oh God, you know, this sounds like something that shouldn't be true in America, but it is actually what's happening. And the reason that we weren't talking about it before, As I think the trial of Dick Cheney's aide Scooter Libby is really showing us right now, is that there were certain segments of the Washington press corps who were only too happy to take any information being fed to them by the administration and to run with it without verification and without any justification other than this is what the Bush administration wants out there and this is what they're telling me. And it really did stifle all other voices for years. We've been talking about this book as new, but it was released in October 2005. And when the Pentagon report came out, it really did seem to be, you know, all right, finally you've gotten around to recognizing what a lot of writers and reporters and bloggers have known all along.
Allison Hanschel is our guest. Charlie, thank you so much for the call, and let us hear from you again. Phone lines are open at 977-1070. Allison, you bring up the Scooter Libby trial, and let's explore that a little bit. It seems, and folks may not know that actually the guy's only being charged with lying in a cover-up. There's actually nobody being charged for the crime that led to the cover-up.
That's correct. Scooter Libby was actually being charged with lying to investigators, not with the actual crime of revealing the name of a covert CIA operative. And this all ties into the work that I was doing because it's essentially, first of all, because Joe Ambassador Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, who the formerly covert operative, was working on counterproliferation for the CIA at the time that she was outed. And there again, if you're really concerned about our national security, that's something that should terrify you, that for political concerns, because her husband was critical of the information that Feith's office was stovepiping directly to the president, they outed a covert operative. If you're really concerned about our national security, that's something that should terrify you, that for political considerations, they found this necessary to do.
I'll tell you this, and I believe this right down in my gut. If somebody in Clinton's office had done that, the Republicans and the conservatives in this country would have gone nuts. You think they went nuts over Monica Lewinsky? If somebody in Clinton's office had outed a secret CIA operative for political motivations, for just to get back at them, they would have gone after him much faster than they did over anything, over the travel office, over all those one scandal after another, you know, the scandal du jour during the Clinton administration. They would have impeached him so fast and sent him back to Arkansas, his head would be spinning. But yet,
it would have been an epic meltdown.
But yet, why does this administration get away with something like that? No one's even being charged. This is a felony to out a CIA operative, yet no one's being charged.
There's a part of me, and we've discussed this on my blog quite a bit, and you know, there's a part of me that thinks that sometimes we simply don't have a framework as Americans for the level of hubris and the level of just, you know, willful defiance that this administration has shown in the face of the law. I mean, they have been breaking the law, and they have been doing it for years, and they have been getting away with it. And it seems as though dealing with it is something for which a certain amount of people in this country just don't have the stomach for. And I don't understand it.
And you write about this in your book. Let me read this real quick to you and have you sort of flesh this out. You write that Feith did not by himself create the situation in which we now find ourselves. Feith was not empowered by Congress to declare war, nor did he issue the orders to do so. Feith was a symptom, and the freedom he was given to pass on incorrect information and rely on rosy-hued best-case scenarios for a war in the oldest civilization on Earth speaks volumes about what exactly was the larger disease. Tell us, Allison, about this larger disease.
What you basically have is, and there's a quote that's something of a sort of a watchword on among bloggers, which is that, you know, the Bush administration derides people who are not part of their ideology as being part of the reality-based community, which I hadn't known until recently was a bad thing. apparently, they feel empowered to create their own world, and if you're not a part of that, then your information is not valid, you're politically motivated, you have 1,000 excuses for not listening to you. And we see this over and over and over in domestic policy, in foreign policy, all they can think about is opposing someone based on the fact that they disagree. And it's really a different method, because it's not governing. It's not managing a problem. You might have to, if you're sincerely interested in governing this country, you're going to have to deal with people who disagree with you. You're going to have to listen to opposing viewpoints and understand them and be willing to admit that you're wrong. And thus far, the leaders of this country at the present time have displayed no such willingness. And so into this environment comes someone who's telling you exactly what you want to hear, who's telling you, yes, here's how you sell this war. You want this war, here's how you do it. And here's what you say, and here's allegations, and they're backed up by the reports from someone's drunk cousin. And this is how we do it. You don't question that.
Allison Henschel blogs at First Draft, and she's the author of Special Plans, the blogs on Douglas Feith and the faulty intelligence that led to war. Allison, it's been a pleasure, and we hope we can perhaps talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.